The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
This is Winners and Sinners. Every week we are looking back on the week that was, but with some twists. And I am joined this week by Saoirse Hanley, who's features writer at The Independent, and Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. Let's start with winners. And your one, Alison, is an unexpected musical artist.
Yeah, so Michael J. Fox is my winner this week. He joined Coldplay on stage at Glastonbury. Did you see it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I've always been a big fan of his. He's done so much work, like over $1 billion raised for research for Parkinson's. It was 1991 when he realized he had first had symptoms for this. So he's been living with this disease for so long.
Is it that long ago?
Yeah, he's 63 now. But I wouldn't be, I'm going to just say this now, I'm going to put a marker down. Chris Martin annoys me a little bit, and I'm not a huge Coldplay fan, but he did write by this.
Are you on Team Gwyneth?
I don't even think I care about either of them anymore. But he said he joined, he got Michael J. Fox. He said, we've got a special, you know, person's going to be joining us on stage. And they are also Coldplay, actually the first band to headline the Pyramid Stage 5 times in a row. So it was a really big night. And Michael J. Fox is now using a wheelchair. They brought him out and he played guitar very well on 2 songs, Humankind and Fix You. And it was extremely emotional to watch. And Chris Martin said the reason why, and that he'd already joined them on stage in 2016. But he said the reason why he's on stage with us now is we wouldn't be a band without him, because that Back to the Future, which we've all, I imagine all of us have seen now at the stage, was very much a founding kind of uniting thing for the band members when they first started out Coldplay.
But so Michael J. Fox can actually play.
He did.
He didn't play it in the movie, did he? Does he play the riff in the movie?
I think he does. Yeah.
Wow.
I think that was his thing. Yeah. So I've just been a big fan of his. You know, I think people think nice things with Back to the Future, and it's just comfort viewing, and everybody that's in that, like, everybody loves all the actors that have come from that as well. And I think especially since Michael J. Fox has had this horrific disease he's been living with, that's been debilitating and shaped his life, but he's managed to do such good with it. He's just remarkable. And I don't know if either of you saw Still, was a documentary about his life that came out last year, and it's worth watching, definitely. And he's a Canadian. So he's
I've forgotten that as well. So who have you got? You got him, you got Jim Carrey, Celine Dion.
Everybody funny. Michael, no.
Oh, Mike Myers as well
was
Canadian.
John Candy, RIP. Steve Martin. No, Martin Short, not Steve Martin. Martin Short.
I hadn't realized John Candy was Canadian.
Oh my God, Anton, that was years ago. I actually cried when that happened.
No, no, I knew he was dead. I just didn't know he was Canadian in advance of being dead.
You cried, you found out he was Canadian. That was our reaction.
If you look at Hollywood movies and you go, that person's hilarious, chances are Canadian.
This is a good principle to know. Saoirse, do you think, given the demographic at Glastonbury, will many people have known who Michael J. Fox is? Because I assume if he's 63, is the demographic too young for that?
I think so. I think if he'd been like a B character in some other kind of film, probably not. But I think the fact that like it's such an enduring, like even like friends I would have had at college, there's definitely a picture of a Halloween party somewhere where someone's dressed up as him from Back to the Future. Like it is definitely still. But then I think like my sister who's 17, if I said it to her, she'd be like, who? But I could say like, Leo Bradford,
her, watch
and like,
her.
Exactly, this is the thing. Although, I do, I don't know if I've ever seen it all the way through.
Oh my God, that's your homework this weekend.
I know. It's on the list of films that, like, I'm sure were on the background sometime, or there was reruns over Christmas, or there was something where it was on, and I have, like, a cultural awareness of it. I just don't think I've ever seen it through.
How can you not have?
I know, and I wasn't going to say it.
I understand it maybe not of your generation, but there are certain films, you know, as I was saying, I haven't seen Gone with the Wind. It may be terrible, but you have to sit through it.
It's a very long list of films that I should have and haven't seen. And I do think I'm a bit of an anomaly there. I do think most of my friends will have seen it. I think that's a me thing.
Have you sat through all three of... It's three, isn't it?
Yeah, three. I've seen all three. I mean, I'm going to be honest,
last
the third one doesn't really stay with me.
No.
But I haven't seen Titanic. That's my thing.
That is very shocking.
Hang on a minute.
I'm from Cove, so
but I'm just like,
I can't have known.
Celine Dion?
We know how it ends. So.
But are you not legally required to, given this Canadian link? No?
I just never sat through it. And then I was like, now I can't sit through it because I've told people I've never seen it. I have to stay with that.
You take that to the grave, I think. Yeah.
It's very long.
I was about to say, and I don't really know what happens in the middle chunk.
Yeah.
I know Jack's boarding.
There's some painting.
There's some painting. There's some cars, some vehicles, I don't know. And then we get to the end and they're all, I won't spoil it for you. But doesn't have a happy ending.
Well, it does for your woman who leaves with the gem at the end of it. She comes out of it okay. She couldn't create enough space in that wardrobe for the pair of them. Setting this aside, your winner of the week, Saoirse, is close to home.
Yes, my winner of the week this week is my mom. And just end the show there. That's all I have to say. No,
wait a minute. You can't go, just because it's her mom. We don't know why. It could be anything. She's killed her fourth victim.
She's been on the run this whole time and she's made it to Italy.
I just assume she's awesome.
She is awesome. And she actually has made it to Italy. So my mom is, she's an SNA, so she's got summers off. That's an important thing. She's not just like taking time to get off places. But my dad died when we were very young, and my mum is just this powerhouse. Like, she's this unbelievable woman. She's just, there's three of us, and we're all kind of, we're each 5 years apart. So now is the first time that she's kind of got like her life back a little bit, because my sister is 17 now. She makes pesto pasta. She's fine. She's thriving. It's grand. My brother's there. They're all grand. We think, if the cats are still fed in a month's time, come back to me. But anyways, so my mum has always wanted to live in Italy, and she would never, you know, go forever or anything, because, you know, she's still working and her partner's here and we're all here and her friends are here and her life's here, fine. But she has, for years, she's always said, like, I'm off all summer. I should just take off for a month or two and just go. And she was meant to go in 2020, for obvious reasons. Mm. Nobody went anywhere in 2020. So it all kind of fell through. And this was the first year that, like, you know, money was in the right place and her time was all in the right place. And so on Sunday, she touched down in Tuscany.
Wow.
And she's in Italy for the month all by herself. And she's having, well, I assume having the best time. She's doing Italian lessons and she's having Hugo spritzes and she's cycling around in this old town and she's just having
that
a
ball. That is inspirational. I think that's inspirational, because we often we don't travel after a certain age on our own, especially, I think, women and children. Yeah. Like, I did a trip to London a few weeks ago and that was the first time I'd left mine in ages. That's inspirational.
Yeah, it's great. And it's just, it's really nice to, like, I don't know, she's done so much for the rest of us that, like, her having a bit of, like, time back to herself is huge. It's so nice. So I'm obviously going to go annoy her in 3 weeks' time and go visit her, but that I'd be remiss not to, so.
What's a Hugo Spritz?
I'm not sold on it because I'm not big on elderflower, but you know the way Aperol Spritz, people think it tastes a bit like petrol?
No, I don't know what Aperol Spritz is either.
You know the big orangey drinks, the big, they look a bit like Tanora in a big glass.
You're not going to like this. Thing. I don't know what Tanora is either.
Tanora might be a quirk thing.
Start at Fanta and work north.
Okay, it's, it looks like a washed down Fanta in a glass. That's an Aperol Spritz. I think it tastes lovely, but it's kind of like a Marmite, where it divides people. But a Hugo Spritz is apparently more palatable, and it's kind of like, I think it's like Prosecco and elderflower syrup and like soda water and stuff. It's really refreshing. It's very nice.
There you go.
You can ask my mum. She's enjoying them. So they're quite nice. But yeah, she's getting gelatos and she's up and around the place.
You said, Alison, that this was inspirational. If you were going to do it in 100 years, when you finally decide, I can take that much time off, of all of the countries of the world in which you would do it, so a month, 6 weeks, on your own, where do you go?
Well, I've been lucky enough to go to Japan twice, and I grew up with girls in Canada from Tokyo, and I love it. So I would love to go back and spend a month, 5 weeks there, definitely.
Have you been on a bullet train?
Yes, with Mario Rosenstock after a 14-hour flight and he was wearing one of those little Irish hats with the red hair. And we went to the, how much of detail do you want here?
Oh, I'm loving this. The picture of a jet-lagged Mario at 180 miles an hour with some booze on board. Yeah. That is quite
Ian
something.
Ian Dempsey was there, Pat Balfour, head engineer. And we went to one of this, was 2002. I don't know if you were even born then.
I was alive. I was 5 years
World
old,
Cup
Alison.
Match. I can't remember which one, Cameroon in Ireland.
What is it that draws you to Japan?
I love the culture. I love the detail of the culture. So everything has such significance and such weight behind it. And, you know, everything's kind of quirky and fun and people are very welcoming, generally speaking. And I got to see the main kind of hubs. So I'd like to do more rural, like, you know.
Did you have sushi?
Yes, I'm a vegetarian. So my friend wrote out a card for me to say how to say I can't or don't want fish in Japanese. So I said that in every restaurant I went into. And so I got veggie sushi. It's good.
It's cucumber and rice, though. It's hard to
like. I prefer veggie sushi.
Yeah.
Fish aspect,
so can your mother speak Italian?
So she has, in fairness now, she's been kind of learning on and off. She's got a great Duolingo streak. And she is taking her lessons now there. She's done a few on Zoom before she went to, like, see which class she'd go into. And now she's chatting away. Now, I don't speak Italian, but she can do her best. I imagine she's ordering things. I'll find out. She's got more.
Italy is a good country to do that in, though, because in my experience, they really want to help you and appreciate the fact that you're
French.
Giving it a shot. Well, I didn't want to go there, but...
But also, in Italy, I find it's one of those lovely countries where it's so preserved in that not everybody does have English, so we shouldn't expect everybody to have English. So, yeah.
Yeah,
she'll learn quickly.
She's kind of, you know, the first lesson I think was a bit daunting, but then it's like any learning anything. As soon as you settle in, you're kind of better off. So I'm not going to say anything when I get there. I'm just going to be like, Mom, Go on, order me one of those Aperols there.
I hear good things about Aperol spritzes. Okay, that's our winners for the week. That is Saoirse's mum and Michael J. Fox for wildly different reasons. We are now heading for our sinners. And again, we have a bit of a spectrum from the personal to the international. Let's start personal. Saoirse, you've had a horrifying experience from which I hope you have recovered.
Yes, I've been a victim of theft.
Oh,
I can't say it was very valuable, but it was valuable to me. So I took a pottery class a few weeks ago, and it was kind of last minute. A friend of mine had a spare seat. I said, yeah, I'm going. Great, let's go. So I arrived in, and because I was a bit late, I was sat at the end of the table next to the door. That's important. So the door was opening and closing. People were coming in to pick up bits they'd made before that were being fired. That's ceramic speak, apparently. So I was just not, I stopped paying attention to the door opening in a while. And at some point, this door opens and this like teenager, this youth, comes in and he like goes as if to fist bump me, and he was like, Knuckles, and I was obviously did not knuckles him back, and I was sat there being like, what's going on? But in my confusion, he reached out and snatched my ceramic project.
What?
And legged it. He was gone. I had made this like really nice little jewellery pot, and it had an S in the middle and flowers on the outside, and I was really proud of it, and I was like, look at this, it's so amazing, it looks so good, I'm going to paint it this colour. Gone with the wind out the door. And on the way out, because he grabbed the, it was still wet clay, like he grabbed a fistful of wet clay. And all that was left was like this muslin cloth. And it had pulled off my second project, my backup, which was such an ugly pot. I will show you both after. It's so ugly and I hate it and I resent it for surviving. But off he went. And we were all sat there in bewilderment and shock. And the woman who was lovely, the lovely woman running the pottery class, was like, no, him again.
And I was what? Like,
him again? Why do you have this repeat pottery thief? What's happening? And she was like, oh, well, he normally takes like, you know, a ball of clay. He's never really been known to take a full project. I'm like,
this is very random.
Very. And he passed by the door again 10 minutes later. We had locked it by that point. And he passed by clayless. So obviously it was just flung somewhere. And
he might have been firing it off site.
Do you know what? Maybe it's being painted as we speak.
I'd say he kept it. He's obviously a lover of pottery.
Maybe his name began with an S. Maybe he was wearing lots of rings. I don't know, but it was going to be beautiful. And weirdly enough, I keep seeing him now. I'm absolutely plagued by this thief.
Have you gone up to him?
No, I didn't know what to do.
So where's my damn dish?
Where's my bowl? Because I saw him like a week later at the Lewis throwing stones at people. And I was like, okay, fine.
From the Lewis?
You've escalated.
Or on the...
From beside the Lewis.
At the Lewis?
At the Lewis stop. Yeah.
So was the Lewis involved in the stone throwing?
The Lewis was gone.
It was just adjacent to a Lewis while this happened.
It was near the Lewis line.
And returning to the original crime, what did the guard say?
Oh, I didn't. Well, you can't really go to the guards about that, can you? I did think.
After the crack, would you
times,
not?
Could I not?
I find that weird that he's a repeat offender.
Right?
Like, what's happening there?
Because I feel like in certain kinds
there's
of theft.
There's a backstory.
Like, I think so. Like, in certain kinds of theft, like, obviously, it's not only kind of crimes, but you can see the motive of somebody stealing certain things, right? Yeah. Like, baby formula on the shelves in America, you know, all that kind of stuff. You get it. I can understand. What are you putting in my jewellery pot that began with an S? And then the other day I saw him again. Well, my roommate saw him again, so it's not just me. I saw him once eating an ice cream. Don't know if he bought that one. Anyway.
So what has this done for your love of pottery? Are you now scarred and will not continue with your classes?
I don't know if the inspiration is there anymore. I think I've lost my creative spark. Now, in fairness,
that's the saddest part of the whole story.
The saddest part of the story.
That's what he really robbed you of.
That's what he was trying to steal from me. But the lovely woman who ran the class did send me home with a block of clay, which like, I can't really do much of that in my own home. You know, I've also, as I said, my creative spark is gone.
Would she not have whipped you up a bowl?
That's what I was thinking.
Do you know what I mean? And we only had like 20 minutes left in the class, so I couldn't even start over.
But I'm sure if you're a pottery expert, you can knock out a bowl in 20 minutes.
Well, yeah. Any pottery experts?
53106 or 87141106. All right, so that's the personal experience. You have an international one. You have a journalist who decided to make a thoughtful and considered point from which we can all learn a lot about Taylor Swift.
I think you maybe have covered this already. John McGlynn, is that how I'm saying his name?
That's it.
Newsweek. So Newsweek is probably not used to writing or publishing such material, but whatever. This guy has said that Taylor Swift, and Saoirse and I both went to see her last week, is not a good role model for women and young girls because she's had so many relationships. Also, to add insult to injury, she is unmarried and she doesn't have children. Which is obviously still what we are completely and utterly on this earth to do. And that is it.
Does she have any purpose?
I know. This is off the back of, you know, when I look this story up today and you say Taylor Swift news, it always comes sandwiched in between the fact that she has done more to eradicate food poverty in the UK than the UK government has in 14 years. So the two are ironically going together. So obviously, you know, we're all reacting to this. Loads of people reacted to this because it's just it's an archaic way of looking at her. And he said, you know, any good parent would not, you know, by the very definition of a role model is someone to emulate. And, you know, any good parent of daughters, you have two daughters, I have a daughter. We would not ever want them to date 12 men in such a short space of time. And I'm like, 12? Anyway. So it's dated. It's out of kilter with where I think we should all be and how we view women and what our purpose in life might be, multifaceted. And just also how amazing Taylor Swift is and what she's done.
Now, it's worth saying because whenever something like this gets discussed, there is a reaction which is, well, you're probably putting jam on it. And it wasn't that, egregious in print. It was that egregious in print. He made clear she's 35. She's had 12 boyfriends. She's unmarried, doesn't have children. Yep. There's questions to ask about her promiscuity, his word. And there's questions to ask about what. And he goes so far as to say that she criticizes the patriarchy but exemplifies a love of it through the alpha males that she chooses to
date. Yes,
that
was actually, thank you for remembering
that part.
It's
tortured, but it's good.
Who is this guy? It's an Irish name. Did you know of him before?
No, and hope to not afterwards. But the interesting thing is, what's the story with Newsweek? Because if this guy popped it on a blog, you'd say, well, you know, it takes all sorts. But this went through sub-editors. It went through an editor. That's...
Because they want it, they're like, oh, nobody's reading Newsweek anymore. This will get people back on the website.
We did all read it. Yeah. We did all read it. That is true.
Is that what it was? I don't know if it was as simple as that.
I don't think he conjured that out of nowhere, though. I imagine those are genuinely his beliefs. And I'm sure the background was like, yeah, that's going to fly. Put that up.
It's pretty shocking. And going back to, you know, her accomplishments on this tour, like record-breaking, first artist to do 3 nights in Aviva, first to get a billion purely on music sales, not merch or anything else. Like, she's just... insane. And I don't know if you thought this as well after you saw her. I was like, how would you calm down from an event like that? Like, how would you be able to decompress after over three and a half, 3 hours?
Yeah.
And, you know, that many people, that many eyes on you for that length of time, carrying a lot of the show completely.
Changing so many times.
On her own, diving into the stage.
Yeah.
How would you just, a cup of tea wouldn't cut it, I wouldn't
imagine.
But
it's also, when you look at artists of that scale and you say, well, what are the kind of the bars of behavior that are set as acceptable norms? You've got Keith Richards, who snorted his dead father and had a heroin addiction for 1,000 years.
An upstanding great guy.
Hell of a guy.
Model.
Yeah. But I think the other thing to consider as well is, like, if she had had kids by this point, all we'd hear about is how bad of a mother she is for, like,
being on tour.
I say jet setting, but this is for you, my mom, who's in Italy. For if she was on tour for 2 years, like that would, then there'd be problems about who's the kids with. Taylor Swift has barely been home. Like,
but it's just the assumption, again, going back to, does she want them? Why are we assuming she does? It's just a big mess and he's a loser.
What about her hypocrisy? He used that word, her hypocrisy about the patriarchy when she's clearly... again, paraphrasing him, lusting after these alpha male types who are the very epitome of the patriarchy.
I don't know if I'd call Joe Alwyn an alpha male.
Who?
Nice guy, but I wouldn't put him in the category. I don't know if.
Who? Sorry, who?
The boyfriend of 6 years, Anton.
What was his name?
Joe Alwyn.
They had apple spritzes together.
Started Fanta. Work me towards Joelle.
I love the point, and you probably saw this as well, where they showed Travis Kelce surprised on the final night and all the footage of them leaving together. And he just stood back and held his arms out. And I loved all of that because the comment on that was like, finally, an alpha male, if you will, a guy who's pretty secure in himself, was able to completely and utterly share the spotlight or put the spotlight on her and not be threatened in any way on any level.
Or even when he went on stage, like last week, I texted my boyfriend straight after and I was like, if I was a mega huge pop star and I asked you to come on stage for my show and dress up, would you do it? Because I think that's an important benchmark for every young woman to ever check with any partner ever. He said, yes, Alison.
Oh, did he?
So on my world tour, my boyfriend's going to be there.
Dressed as what?
Well, I'll have to work through the concepts. But as I said, my creative spark is gone.
But he's given you carte blanche to dress him in any way that you want.
Watch the space.
How big a stage does he need? Because we could have a whip around and make this happen at the weekend.
I'm thinking I'll go back to Cork, maybe do Parky Queeve. I don't know. We'll
Anton just wants to test him.
Yeah.
Correct.
He's going to love that.
I'm thinking Hooters outfit, Whelan's this Sunday.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
You're welcome back. I'm joined by Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Saoirse Hanley, features writer at The Independent. We've had our winners, that being Michael J. Fox and Saoirse's mum, who has taken off to Italy to pedal around Tuscany for a month. We've had our sinners, that being John McGlynn, the Newsweek opinion writer, who has explained why Taylor Swift is a crushing failure because of her promiscuity and love for alpha males. And the pottery thief who nicked Saoirse's pot, her irreplaceable pot. This brings us to anything else. What have you got for us, Alison?
Well, I am returning to my country of origin on Monday, to Canada. And thankfully, the flight is not cancelled as of yet because I'm flying with a certain airline.
Can I tell you my Canadian fact that I love? You'll know this, but I love it.
Yes.
Most Canadians live further south than the northernmost point of the continental US.
There's a huge population along the border. So that's why people go, America or Canada? It's like, well, we're not, like, sometimes it's a mile difference. So obviously we're going to sound the same.
But most of you live further down below Maine, effectively.
Because of the way the Great Lakes work, and Ontario is huge. Ontario and Quebec are huge populations.
I feel you're using the rest of Canada inefficiently.
I know, well, very few people live so far north. It is beautiful there, though.
Bears.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's wide open spaces. Some people don't like that. I love that.
But anyway, I cut across you. You're heading back.
So heading back. So, I mean, I don't really think of hacks or in my life because I'm of a certain age that when you hear the word hack, you're like, ooh. So I had a young person working with me explain this. But this woman has given us a travel hack that you can cut and paste your flight number and text it to yourself. And then once you text it to yourself, I know this is a visual medium, this is audio. Once you text it to yourself, all your flight information comes up on the screen. So it's the gate, it's delayed, it's times, it's arriving at, and a map, everything. So instead of going, going to the board or going through your booking reference and all this kind of stuff, just text your...
So have you got a flight number there?
This is one that's already flown today, just to prove to you. I know this is...
But is that a screenshot or is that an actual...
It's a screenshot, but it's active. So you can watch it. Like, obviously, once you're on the plane and up in the air, it's done and done. But it just is...
But it means anybody listening can do it now. If you take EI 104, which is the Dublin to New York flight, probably cancelled thanks to Aer Lingus, but nonetheless, there'll be info.
It won't be.
If you text yourself, so to your own number, EI 104, nothing else, just EI 104, when you then hit it...
Yep.
It'll give you all of the update on. Will you? Can you do that there and tell us if it's canceled?
I just texted a random one. Actually, I think this is in the air now. And what happens is you click on it and it says preview flight, and you pop up, and there it is, active, going. Actually, sorry, it's flying at 1553 today. This random Aer Lingus flight. So isn't that great?
It's like, and what's cool about it as well is it updates. So if you're in the airport, it'll tell you if it's delayed or if it's changed gate.
So instead of like rushing to the boards and everything, it's a really handy hack.
Now, can I go back to your... It is amazing. It's one of the most useful things. What I want to go back to is your thing about the hack.
Yes.
Right? Somebody in Apple spent weeks typing boring code to make that happen.
Exactly.
And then installed it into the phone so the phone could do it. And then somebody goes, it's not a hack.
It's a genius.
It's a thing that was designed into the product you bought.
I've never heard
of it. It's like saying, have you seen my kettle hack? It boils water.
And hack is like a really off-putting word, but I think that's a generational thing. I don't know.
No.
If someone says, do you want this hack? I'll be like, however, speaking to hacks, about hacks, a lot of things to do with food and wine buying and things like that I've been seeing. I'm like, these are good hacks.
Yeah. Food hacks.
Yeah. Food hacks. Yeah.
Life hack. Yeah. Bottle hack. They're great.
Maybe you should embrace it.
There's one where, in theory, if you put a wine bottle in a shoe and bang it off a wall, the cork comes out.
Tried that in Canada, actually. I lived there for a year and we were a bunch of students, didn't have a wine opener. I don't know why we were drinking wine anyway because we were 19, didn't enjoy it. It did not work. We tried the lighter along the cork side. We tried it. It really was a disaster.
Well, this is a bit like University Challenge where you've got a team of judges. Claire has a different view. You're saying it did work, Claire. Yes. Claire from behind the glass says it did work. Excellent. So it clearly is the problem with your technique.
Might have been a bunch of drunk 19-year-olds. Might have been the problem. I don't know.
If anybody can get at wine, normally it's them.
I don't know, guys. It was St. Patrick's Day. What can I say?
So, Saoirse, what have you got after your traumatic week of having your pottery stolen? What have you got for anything else?
I got thinking about really obscure references to things, right? So, you know when somebody says to you, like, this person did this, it was just like when, and you think they're going to say something really obvious. It's like, say I'm wearing a stripy top and, you know, Alison said to me, like, oh my God, it's just like, and I think you're going to say, where's Wally? But you're like, it's just like that retired mime who was in Paris in 1974. Like, It's totally obscure because I'm starting to see some new bits at work and I'm doing a new column. And I was saying it to my mum, I was like, I'm going to write this column. I'm just basically a columnist now. I was like, no big deal. And she was like, oh my God, it is just like Marley and Me. Now, obviously, I've said this to people since and they're like, well, yeah, that guy was a columnist. So I think that might have been a cultural mishap by me not knowing that. Because the defining memory for me of Marley and Me, spoiler alert, is the dog dying, obviously.
What? So
I know. It's 2010. It's a 2000, really old spoiler. But
do you have a dog?
Well, my dog actually did die 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah. So actually, it might have been an apt comparison for mum,
right.
Actually.
That's why it's fresh in her mind.
Was this conversation pre-mortem?
This was post-mortem.
Then how are you like Marley and Me? I'm very sorry for your loss, but the critical thing that would make you Marley and Me would be the combination of a column
and a dead dog.
And a dog.
But Anton,
if you don't have the dog, you're just a columnist.
Anton, let's go back to the April spritz. I don't think you're in a position to judge.
But I am also turning 27 next month and I live in a big old city and I have lived in New York before. So Carrie Bradshaw was right there.
And can I just say 27 is an awesome year. You're going to have fun. That was one of my favorite years.
I'm excited. A couple weeks to go.
And then it's all... 27th. Were you on a bullet train with Mario Rosenstock?
No, actually, was that year?
You probably were, actually, now that I think of it.
No, just met the hubby and loved the job and settled. So you're, as in not saying you're going to have to settle, but just had fun.
I'm not Taylor Swift. I'm going to immediately have
27 is when your inner spark dies. You just give up and settle into
look into these eyes. It's the last of the light in them. Oh. Soon to be gone. But I was like, Mom, like Carrie Bradshaw is much cooler than Owen Wilson and Marley and Me.
Yeah,
I would argue, but you know, wow, who knows?
Can I go back to a thing? You mentioned meeting the husband when you were 27. If you asked your husband to dress up in an outfit of your choosing and appear on stage with you, what answer would he give you?
Probably no, actually. Although he supports me in every other way of our life. Although he did dress up as Slash from Guns N' Roses 1 year and it worked really well for him, actually. He was good. So he's not opposed to it, but that wasn't a request for me.
Did he have to get a wig or does he have...
Yeah. Well, he did have more hair then as well, but no, it was a big on wig.
With the top hat?
Yep. He looked amazing, wow. Actually. Yeah, yeah.
Slash is a good one to dress up as because the face is so obscured anyway.
He's got a plaid shirt on now, so you just need the wig.
And I need a wig and a top hat. Stat, where can I go for this? Is there any chance you can make one out of pottery?
I don't know. It'll get stolen.
That's the final thing that I'm curious about. You said this was a spate of pottery thefts had occurred. Mm-hmm. Why didn't she lock the door when she knew that this was a recurring thing?
That is a question I'm still asking.
Hindsight,
to this day. And she, I do think that I'm really glad that it happened, partly because the comedic effect of no, not him again has sustained me ever since.
You get a column out of that.
I get to listen. It's the first, going to be the first one. But we did think that. I think she, do you know what? She's too committed to everyone else who was diligently turning up to pick up their pieces that they made and that were dry and ready to store jewellery. And I think that it was foresight. So lock your doors, pottery makers.
Yeah.
Saoirse, thank you. Alison, thank you. That's Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. And Saoirse Hanley, features writer and columnist.
Yay!
At The Independent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.